You're listening to Aging Redefined with your host, Kendra Vallone. This show will give you the tools and information for better health as you age. Now, here's your host, Kendra Vallone.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another show of Aging Redefined. I'm your host, Kendra Vallone, and I'm joined by my co-host, who is board certified in internal medicine, pulmonary medicine, with advanced training in anti-aging, Dr. Larry Emder. Hi, Dr. Emder.
Hello, nice to be on the show.
It's always wonderful to have you.
I'm a little bit nervous.
Why are you nervous?
Because I don't really have anything to talk about.
Yeah.
You know, it's been like weeks since I've been on vacation.
That's true.
Yeah. And so like I'm like between vacations, like there's nothing going on in my life but work. So, and we got to fill up this segment with 15 minutes of chatter. So
Somehow I am not worried about
it. You think we're going to be able to come through with something?
Yeah. Usually you have something strange.
Well, I got some things up my sleeve. But let's have you go first while I ruffle the... my papers here to try to come up with something to talk about. What's new in your life?
Well, everything is new in my life. I mean, I feel like every day is a different story, seeing that I'm now, you know, a little over 6 months pregnant. But we keep talking about that.
Yeah.
So I finally feel pregnant, which has not happened in a while. I've been so blessed. God has been way too good to me. I have not been sick. I haven't been, you know, sore or achy. However, I'm starting to waddle. Things are becoming more difficult to pick up. And you know what's strange? Okay, so I'm reading about things. I've got that book, What to Expect When You're Expecting, which I think everybody is supposed to purchase just to make yourself feel better, whether or not you're going to read it. You just need it in the house. But I'm slowly going through it, and all this stuff that's in the book is happening to me. So it's strange.
That's good.
One of the things... I'm not saying they're good things.
Okay.
I mean, one of the things it was bringing up last night as I was reading it was, you know... the clumsiness factor. It's huge. You know, do you drop your keys and pick them up and then all of a sudden you drop them again? And it's kind of ironic because at this point I can't even bend over. So it's just like double the work for me. And they said it's because my ligaments are getting looser.
Okay.
And so it has a lot to do with that. And so my coordination, I feel like I'm grabbing onto something tighter than I really am. So I let it go.
Okay.
And then obviously the clumsiness, or not clumsiness, the attention, like being able to focus on something, doesn't help either. So I'm because I'm not focused, you know, you're kind of forgetful, just kind of clumsy. So at that point, it all kind of just ties into not paying attention and focusing on.
So I'm a little depressed with that because, you know, I've been clumsy lately and I don't even have an excuse.
You have no excuses.
I dropped my glasses, which then proceeded to... as I got out of the car, rolled down the parking lot, it was like four cars down. I was afraid I was going to lose my new glasses.
But did you have to? But maybe that's exercise for you.
Yeah, maybe that was exercise. I did read an article that for when you're pregnant again, it's actually easier the second time around. Why? Because now your ligaments are now like a little bit looser. Your uterus is a little bit more pliable. And supposedly your next pregnancy is going to be even easier.
Really?
So
it'll just
I know you don't
right
want to be
out.
Thinking about your next pregnancy when you're in your first pregnancy.
Yeah. You know what? That's true. But at the same time, I feel like, you know, you want to be prepared for. I know a lot of people that have gone back to pack and not necessarily intentionally, but I think it just happens.
What does that mean? Back to pack?
Back to pack. Like you have it. And you just get pregnant right away again.
Okay.
Which would be very difficult to do, I think. You know, you want to kind of get your body back in shape.
Okay.
Feel like a normal human being again, not like you're carrying around bowling balls. But that's okay. I'm trying to do everything I can now to be healthy so that when the baby comes, I can get it all off.
Okay. Well, you look healthy.
Thank you. But like I said, I am feeling pregnant. Things are getting hotter in here. I've never been the type of person to be hot. I'm always one of those very cold people. Was that the yin or the yang or one of those?
It's all right. Well, whatever you're doing, keep up the good work.
Thank you. And I'm struggling to breathe. Being
okay.
A pulmonologist, maybe you can help me with that.
Yeah. So you have what we call restrictive lung disease now.
Yes.
And that means you cannot take a deep breath.
That is correct.
Why can't you take a deep breath? Is, you know, when you take a deep breath, you know, your diaphragm pushes down on your abdomen and you have more air going into your lungs, but you have this big tumor in your abdomen that's preventing you from taking a deep breath.
I'm going to tell my son you called him a tumor.
Yeah. So it is somewhat of like a tumor process outside your body. It's a good tumor.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so it's just.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very natural and nothing I should be too concerned about.
Right. So it will pass, but it's, you know, it's going to take the delivery to get it to pass.
Yeah. That's a big passage.
So I got something new here. A new section is book review. Da 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 da.
Does it have anything to do with our topic at all, or is this open book club?
Oh, you see, the nice thing about this is it has to do with my topic. You know, my crusade of vegetarianism for everybody. So a book just came out.
Go for it.
It's by Deborah Madison, and it's the New Vegetarian Cooking for Everyone book.
Okay.
And she did a book back in 1997. She was a chef at a restaurant called The Greens, which is one of the first vegetarian restaurants in San Francisco.
Ooh.
And
they're very on the up and up, aren't
and
they?
And she evidently put together a great book for all people to, you know, learn more about how to serve good vegetarian meals.
Okay.
Because, you know, when I was growing up, and I hate to admit this, but in the 50s, vegetables was something you got out of a can or was frozen. Okay.
Oh, that's
and
lovely.
It basically was a side dish for the big piece of meat that we were about to consume.
Right. Okay? So for audience members out there that don't know your history, you did grow up.
Yes.
A carnivore.
Yeah. So I was up until 3 years ago, a card carrying carnivore.
Mm-hmm.
I had, you know, meat three meals out of the day at least, mm-hmm. and would snack in between with meat, you know, we're talking everything.
Right.
But 3 years ago, we saw the light, made the conversion, and have been basically meat free for 3 years.
And why?
Why?
Again?
Health reasons. You know, I think like with the Mediterranean diet, I think it's a healthier way.
Mediterranean diet has meat in it, though.
It has it in limited amounts. It has chicken and it has meat, you know, maybe, you know, once or twice a week. But mm-hmm. it's more vegetables, fruits, grains and fish is the predominant part. And I do believe it's a healthier diet, less saturated fats, which mm-hmm. I'm 65. I figure if I'm going to go out, hey, I'm going out with either a stroke or an MI. That's how my parents went out, okay? So I just realized, you know, maybe I don't want to go out so quick. So I'll let you know in 20 years, but I'm banking on this this diet to keep me healthy.
Well, you're looking good. What, you've got like the lowest body fat?
Yeah, we're talking BMI of, you know, 22, 23. My weight.
What's average? Is that average?
What's average in America? It's probably 26 or higher. But, ooh. You know, you want to be between 22, 26. If you're over 26, you're overweight. If you're over 30, you're obese. If you're over 33, you're severely obese.
What about under? Because I was just reading an article that said being underweight is
so under is bad, too. If you have a BMI less than 19, or you are 18, you're at risk for bad things happening to you. So you don't want to be too thin. You want your BMI to be in the sweet spot, I would say, would be 22 to 24. But right, I'm able to maintain that weight with pretty much without a lick of exercise, just by diet. So how cool is that?
That's pretty impressive. However, you do run up the stairs at the hospital.
Yes. Yeah. Well, we are in shape to go on our next trip, which is going to be this coming Monday. To Vail. So we're looking forward to that.
Mm-hmm.
Getting back to vegetables. I know every time vegetables.
Wait. We were just talking about the book.
Yeah, well, the book is...
You didn't finish the book.
Yeah,
is it a recipe book or is she writing
about
it?
It's a recipe book on how to prepare vegetarian meals. And the point before you got me off the subject was, you know, growing up, I thought, you know, a vegetable meal was having some peas or carrots. And it turns out there's huge food groups out there that are extremely tasty. And this book actually goes over ways to combine foods to have something that's good to eat and nutritious. And
does it list some of the recipes that are on it?
It does not, but what it talks about is some of the sections are how to prepare the food, like what tools you need. They have a section strictly on knives. They have a section strictly on the basics of the different vegetables
and
fruits.
Sounds expensive. Like, as far as after I read this book, I'm going to need new knives or I'm going to need new...
Maybe not.
She kitchen says, tools.
You know what she
Good
says?
Excuse,
is your most important tool is your hands.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and why this is important is the latest thing today, an inaugural episode of home delivery of organic fruits and vegetables to my house. A new service.
You got home delivery.
We got home delivery.
You got your groceries home delivered.
Right. But these aren't your mother and dad's fruits and vegetables. These are from local organic farms that they bring in a minimal amount of money, $25 every other week. They bring in organic, fresh fruits and vegetables right to the house, and they taste incredible. I'm talking...
you live a different life.
I'm talking strawberries. We had fresh onions come in.
For $25, you're saying?
Yeah, kale.
What can you get at the grocery store for $25?
A
head of lettuce and strawberries.
Having never gone to a grocery store shopping, I can't really comment, but this is a great deal. And the point that she makes in the book is that when you have, let's say, a tomato, and if you have a tomato that was trucked in from four states away, mm-hmm. as opposed to a locally grown tomato, it's going to taste better. And so anyway, I have this this service, and it's...
So what is the service? How do we get it?
So I made notes, and, you know, I don't think I can... Let's see if I can find them. And, I guess we'll have to do it for the next show, but it's a...
You can't leave it hanging like that.
It's
$25, that's pretty good if you're actually getting stuff for it.
Yeah, so it's nutritious, it's organic, it's locally grown. This is our first week that it was delivered, and it was awesome. So for our next show, you have to listen into our next show, and I'll give you the contact information.
If you find it on one of the breaks, then.
Yeah, okay. No, we'll find it on one of the breaks.
Okay. But this is a good topic to kind of segue into our show today.
Yeah, so who's our guest?
Which is awesome. We have Dr. Navandi on, but most doctors are always talking about, you know, their surgeries or what they're really good at, but Dr. Navandi is going to bring a little spin to it, and it's right down your alley of being very healthy.
So he's an internist, mm-hmm. but it sounds like he practices a little bit of alternative medicine, which we'd love to hear about.
Mind and body stuff, which I really don't know a whole lot about, so I didn't grow up like that. Hey, but I really want to learn.
We filled up the segment. How do we do it? give me five.
Audience out there. Wait, hold on. Okay, that was high five. Audience out there, stay right with us. We will be back after this word from our sponsor. Thanks so much.
Tucked away in Lemon Grove is a skilled care and rehab facility to rival any other. Our private and semi-private rooms surround a grand courtyard. Our large physical, occupational, and speech therapy suites, along with our certified wound care team, are a continuum of care from our finest local hospitals. As a Medicare-rated 5-star facility, we're trusted by San Diego's top doctors. Whether experiencing a recent joint replacement, stroke, or pulmonary issues, you can trust Lemon Grove Care and Rehabilitation to get back on your feet and back home. For more information, visit lemongrovecare.com or call 619-463-0294. Lemon Grove welcomes you.
No one wants to think about having a heart attack, but should you or a loved one need life-saving care, you want to go to a hospital that has a track record for saving lives. I'm Dr. Mike Mikowski, a cardiologist at Alvarado Hospital. As a designated San Diego Heart Attack Receiving Center, we recognize the importance of getting life-saving cardiac care. Our state-of-the-art cath labs offer life-saving treatment when you need it most. For information, visit alvaradohospital.com.
Alvarado Hospital is one of the top 15 health systems in the nation.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Aging Redefined. I'm your host, Kendra Vallone, and joined by my co-host, Dr. Larry Emder. And Dr. Emder, we have an awesome guest on today. I know we kind of segued into it on the last segment, but I'm going to hand it over to you so you can introduce
him. Okay, so it's with great pleasure to introduce Dr. Navandi, who is a board-certified internist, did his medical school training at Tehran Medical University, then came to the United States for his internship in New York City at St. Barnabas Hospital, finished at Charles Kettering Hospital in Dayton, Ohio, and has been a hospitalist in San Diego since 2006, practicing at Palomar Hospital and most recently at Scripps Chula Vista. Dr. Navandi, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming.
Kendra,
okay,
she's begging to ask the first question.
I know. So most doctors that we have on the show are talking about a surgery or... you know, any specific function or illness that they cure, but really you do something a little bit different, and it's very interesting to be able to talk to a doctor about it, but you're more kind of the mind and body side of things. But what exactly is it that you do?
Sure. As an internal medicine doctor and hospitalist, in the hospital I deal with the really sick patients, emergency cases, like every other doctors do. But I have been practicing yoga from age... something like 18, 19. So I have been...
That's pretty interesting.
Yeah. So basically, I have been doing yoga, and coming to the United States, I noticed that somehow the definition of yoga is not exactly as it's been taught and worked up in the East. So there is a yoga that is very stressed out here about physical yoga, hatha yoga. But there is also a part of yoga that is about the mind, and that is Raja Yoga, that somehow has been ignored in the Western culture.
Okay, so there are two types of yoga I've never seen. And to me, when I think of types, I'm thinking Bikram, which is like the hot yoga, or other types like that. But you're saying one is more physical?
Okay, so just to go basically to the definition of yoga, what does mean yoga?
Okay.
We basically, yoga comes from the root word yuk. And basically,
yuk, y-u-k-e. Okay.
You may not remember. We have seen in the pictures in the old times, or even now in the Asian countries, the yuk is a wooden beam that is used basically between two cows when they want to cultivate the ground, the soil. They use it. Yuk
okay.
means the union of the mind and body. It is mind, body, and soul. So basically, yoga in its definition is the union of the mind and body. What we do here is mostly focusing on the body part of it. Like, I don't want to go to say that this is bad. This is one part of yoga. There is more styles of yoga. There is like bhakti yoga, yoga of love. There is Raja yoga, yoga of mind. There is hatha yoga, physical yoga. And there are other practices. But mainly, the whole reason that yoga has been brought up and is useful for us is mostly relation of mind, body, and soul. So basically, what I'm trying to do here, side by my medicine, is that during the when I go around on my patients, if I have patients who come for acute care, sometimes I see things that are chronic, that are mostly the chronic illnesses that can be dealt more with yoga, that the medicine of yoga, Ayurveda, that we're going to talk about that later.
So what's the history of yoga? When what century did it start, and where?
We can go back that we can see that the first book written about yoga was by Patanjali about 2,000-3,000 years ago. So basically, that's the first. It comes from the Vedic textures in India. So Patanjali basically wrote the first book about yoga, and from there the foundations have come up. And basically, so it's an old style. It's like has been in practice for about 2,000-3,000 years ago.
So it's not a religion. It's just a practice.
Yoga is not a religion. You can have any religion or don't believe in anything and do yoga. And that is one of the problems we had in San Diego. If you guys remember, about 2-3 years ago in North County, some schools were trying to put yoga for students. And then there was a lawsuit against that they thought that yoga is about religion. Yoga is not about religion. It can be used as a medicine.
Okay.
Any question?
I have so many. I don't even know where to start.
Please.
Like, well, I mean, just, you know, you were talking about, you know, there's yoga for the mind, but then there was yoga for, like, romance. Is this something that you would do all of it?
Because you look at the body into different parts. You think that the physical body is separate from your mind and from your consciousness. That's not true. We are all basically bundled into each other. I'll bring you an example. I go to see a patient in the hospital. They come with Crohn's disorder. That's autoimmune disorder that affects the GIC.
Crohn's disease?
Crohn's disease.
Okay.
You go there, you see the patient, you put them on a steroid, some medicine. The acute flare is taken care of. Patient doesn't have any more GI bleed. Then you send him home. What we do mostly is autoimmune disease to suppress the immune system to get rid of this disease. What the yoga do is go to find the root of the disease, why he has imbalance in his nature between mind and body, and why this imbalance presents as ama or toxin that affects his GI system. So basically, you're going to find why he has a Crohn's disorder. You may be able to do a total colectomy. Then you can see the cases that the guy comes with another problem, like affects the gallbladder or affects something. So you see these cases that they come to hospital. You fix one thing, you send them out, come back 6 months, 1 year later with another problem, because we do not take care of the root of the disease. Basically, the yoga and Ayurveda is trying to prevent the disease. So where are the uses of that? It's not in the emergency cases, like when you have a heart attack, when you have a stroke. I'm not going to ask you to come and do yoga or Ayurveda. But when we take care of the emergent situation, when we go to the chronic phase, that is when the yoga and alternative medicine come. So basically, from here, we come to the term of integrative medicine. Integrative medicine brings the alternative medicine and the Western medicine and combine them together. So what can be used in each scenario? Nothing is good for everything. There's no prescription for everything. Acute cases mostly go with the Western medicine, with what we call it emergency, or what we do in the hospital.
Like physical medicine, physical, like pills medicine. And, yes. And, okay.
Chronic and prevention of disease and treatment of chronic disease, like migraine disorder. I give you a medicine for your migraine, your headache is gone, but it can come back in 6 weeks later. Right. I can never tell you if it's going to come back or not, or a seizure. I try to prevent it. It doesn't mean that the medicine that I give you doesn't take care of it, doesn't prevent it. But yoga comes here and help so to prevent this. So see, it's more than just physical yoga. It goes to the mind and consciousness.
So I usually use yoga when I'm skiing because I come off the slopes. Everything I do is around skiing.
Well, and, yeah, I know.
And so at least twice a year after skiing, I'll go to they usually have yoga at the resort. Uh-huh. And for me, it's amazing stretching and balance. And it sounds like what you're doing is more than that. Like there may be a meditation part of the yoga that you're
exactly.
introducing.
Meditation is the Raja part of yoga. Raja yoga is a meditation.
How do you spell Raja?
R-A-J-A.
Raja, okay.
See, yoga basically is divided into 8 sections, if you want to go very simple. Is niyama, things that you should do as a philosophy of yoga. Now I'm going back to very short segment of philosophy of yoga. Niyama, the things that you should not do ethically as the yoga. That you should do. Yama, the things that you are not supposed to do. Then we go to asanas, that is a physical yoga that everybody knows.
That's pretty much what we do in San Diego.
That's what we do, yes. And then we have pranayama, that is breathing techniques. Sometimes if you see the people who are in the ICU or in the comatose state, you see their breathing pattern change. It goes to the brainstem. The higher function of the cortex is gone and the breathing pattern changed. The yogis do some of those patterns that they believe that it's going to work on their centers of energy. They believe in 7 centers of energy. So by now we talk about niyama, yama, asana, pranayama. Then we come about the concentration meditation. That has different parts. One is pratyahara. Pratyahara is when you go inward, when you cut the outside stimuli. Then we have dharana, dhyana, samadhi. So meditation part and Raja Yoga by itself has 4 phases. We're going to talk about that. This was just about the yoga because you asked, what is yoga?
This is the simplified version.
Yes, I mean, this is amazing. So that's what I thought.
There's much more to this than I'm thinking of.
So there's a lot of different aspects of yoga, yeah. But it sounds like most people, we were just thinking about the physical yoga.
Yeah, that's the problem that comes. And I tell people that are disabled or you have lost a limb, you want to come yoga, and they laugh at me. Why do you want me to do yoga? I cannot even, I'm so obese or I cannot breathe. I say, listen, it's okay. The yoga can be tailored for you. The yoga is not only what you see somebody is slim and doing yoga. We tailor yoga, and that's what we do, yoga for everyday life. I have been teaching that in the public library for a time, and I have been teaching that back in Iran. It's yoga for everyday life, for everybody. Based on what you are, we tailor it for you.
So you're using all forms of yoga.
We're not going to stick with one form of yoga. It's different kind of styles, different techniques for everybody, and that's, I think, is very helpful. By the way, going back to your skiing, do you do hot yoga when you do the skiing or not?
I've never done the hot yoga, but I've had patients that have done the hot yoga.
Are we talking about Bikram?
Talking about the one that you go and they put...
They turn the temperature up?
Yeah, right.
So yeah. What was their experience? Did they like it or didn't like it?
Well, this was a college student, USC, and she couldn't wait to get back to doing it, but she actually got a pneumonia. She got the hot, moist...
Really?
She got like a Legionnaire's pneumonia or mycoplasma pneumonia, and she was sick as hell.
So basically, again, we go back to the thing. One technique is not good for everybody, and we're going to talk about it in Ayurveda. Hot yoga can be toxic for some people.
It was toxic for this patient.
I'm not supposed to do it. In all the pregnancy books, it says yoga is a big thing. Like, you're supposed to do yoga, which is pretty much the one thing that I haven't been doing. But it says definitely don't do the hot yoga because you can't, raise your body temperature like that. So.
But you can do the Raja yoga. You can meditate on your baby.
I should be doing a lot of yoga. And we've talked about this. I think Dr. Amber and I both have it on our to-do lists.
Yeah, I'm actively recruiting a place to go to do yoga. Uh-huh. I saw, driving to work, there's a place that has 40% off yoga in my neighborhood. I've actually gone out and bought a yoga mat, so that's a good sign.
I have a yoga mat.
Yeah, it's still in the wrapper, though.
So is mine.
this show is perfect because I do have a lot of questions.
We've got to cut to break here, but I think Dr. Nahavandi has a lot to tell us about his yoga, too, because I think we might be able to take lessons from him. So audience out there, stay right with us, and we'll be back.
Tucked away in Lemon Grove is a skilled care and rehab facility to rival any other. Our private and semi-private rooms surround a grand courtyard. Our large physical, occupational, and speech therapy suites, along with our certified wound care team, are a continuum of care from our finest local hospitals. As a Medicare-rated five-star facility, we're trusted by San Diego's top doctors. Whether experiencing a recent joint replacement, stroke, or pulmonary issues, you can trust Lemon Grove Care and Rehabilitation to get back on your feet and back home. For more information, visit lemongrovecare.com or call 619-463-0294. Lemon Grove welcomes you.
No one wants to think about having a heart attack. But should you or a loved one need life-saving care, you want to go to a hospital that has a track record for saving lives. I'm Dr. Mike Mikowski, a cardiologist at Alvarado Hospital. As a designated San Diego Heart Attack Receiving Center, we recognize the importance of getting life-saving cardiac care. Our state-of-the-art cath labs offer life-saving treatment when you need it most. For information, visit alvaradohospital.com.
Alvarado Hospital is one of the top 15 health systems in the nation.
So welcome back, listeners, to our show on Aging Redefined. We have a phenomenal show here, and it's hitting
me. This is really redefining aging.
It's hitting me in the breadbasket, because this really is what Aging Redefined is getting in touch with your mind and body. And I've been talking mostly about your body, but, you know, because I don't know anything about my mind. I haven't really connected that well with it. But we have Dr. Nanha Vandi, who's talking with us about yoga, and the forms of yoga that he talks about incorporates a lot of meditation. And what I was reading in my favorite journal, the Wall Street Journal, is that, you know, it's kind of a hard thing to do. People don't know where to go to get that sort of training, and you do need some expertise. So can you tell us about the history of meditation, and how can our listeners, you know, be better at it?
Sure. I have been basically practicing meditation for about 20 years, so I have some hopefully some beneficial points for the listeners. Mm-hmm. Basically, meditation starts with pratyahara, dharana, dhyana, samadhi. What does that mean? Pratyahara is the first stage of meditation. It means that when you sit or when you decide to basically cut the external stimuli and go inside. Again, remember, we said about mind, body, conscious, unconscious, or soul. So very simple example that I want to say is that I sometimes tell my patients that, hey, you want to meditate, you want me to help you with meditation, and they tell me, you know, doctor, I meditate when I play piano, or I meditate when I do horse riding. That is not meditation. That is just concentration. Mm-hmm. There is a difference between concentration and meditation. What is the difference?
Right.
In the concentration, you have a point to concentrate. In the meditation, you start with a point, and then you lose everything. You are nowhere. So basically, you sit for meditation. And then when you open up your eyes, you don't know how long it has been passed. You don't know where you were. You're completely in your unconscious.
Huh.
So, I mean, it somehow seems weird, yeah?
Is it kind of like hypnotherapy? Because being a professional golfer, I used to try a lot of techniques. You're trying whatever you can to get in the zone. And I had gone to a hypnotherapist who very much lays you back and does the whole, you're walking down the stairs and, you know, you're in this zone and you're visualizing what's happening. You know, you're hitting golf shots, those types of things. So it kind of sounds similar. Is it the same thing?
No, it's completely different.
How is it different? How is it different?
I'm not taking you to any zone.
Okay.
I teach you to be in the moment. You're not in the moment. At this time that you think you're in the moment, your mind is somewhere else.
Right, absolutely.
Your mind is, think about your pregnancy, about what happened this morning, what you're supposed to do this afternoon. It's the nature of the mind.
Right.
It's a monkey.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not here to fight with that monkey. I give you a tool so that monkey can be silent and you go deep layer of your unconsciousness. I'm not taking you anywhere. I just take you where you are supposed to be, and then you start your journey. There's a big difference with meditation and hypnotism. I'm not trying to fix anything in you. I try to take you to the point, and then the process starts from inside. When you reach to that point, your inside gets in balance with the universe. Then the process will start.
Can some people can't meditate? Can everybody meditate?
Everybody can meditate. It has been told that it has been said that there is more than 140 techniques for meditation. I normally use 10 or 12 techniques, and it works on everybody.
Because I really don't think my wife can meditate. I mean, she's always... I'd like her to meditate a little
bit. I don't know how you could. Like, that's kind of... Like, you're always
I actually could meditate.
Really?
I just don't know how.
Okay.
So how do I do it?
Okay, so basically, again, no, there's no prescription for everybody. It depends on each person. The teacher, you start with the teacher, that you have faith, and then you continue with your teacher. I have been doing this with my same teacher that I started 20 years ago, Mr. Sasani. And basically, we got the technique and we stick to that. And then during the years, your techniques may change as the teacher gives you different techniques. Mm-hmm. Again, there are some people who cannot sit silent.
Right.
And a lot of Americans, unfortunately.
And that's my wife. She can't be silent.
That's okay.
You guys are a pair.
We have dance meditation. Have you heard about Sufi or Rumi meditation? Have you heard about Rumi?
Yeah.
Okay, you have heard about.
No.
Rumi. Wasn't he an author?
Do you know
the same Rumi?
You know Dr. Deepak Chopra, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, he gave a CD.
He plays golf, by the way.
And he basically gave out a CD about Rumi about 7-8 years ago. And basically, he just had a concert in Los Angeles about Rumi with a singer from Iran. Huh. Rumi was a Sufi from Iran. Remember, yoga was not only in India. The culture was spread out.
Okay.
So the Sufism in India has a lot common with the yoga, but because of some issues back, because of the religion, they couldn't bring it up very clearly. So basically, this is what's happening. There is a technique that is called dance meditation. And basically, that is what Rumi was doing. We had a seminar last year. I had a lecture in UTC Mall, and we had some basically singers brought, and we had some practical technique about that, music meditation, dance meditation, mantra meditation. You know what's mantra?
Mantra. Yeah.
You repeat a mantra. You repeat word just to keep your mind busy. But the aim of meditation is not that word. It's to keep your monkey busy, so that gets shut down. The mind gets shut down. That's the only thing that meditation is do. I start with the technique, and then I walk by you. I basically give you some breathing techniques, and I don't know if you believe in that or not. I believe in the pranayama or energy around the body.
Oh, absolutely.
So I distribute that in the class based on the student, whatever the level they have, and I walk with them, and then I go slowly they go to the deep concentration or meditation.
Huh. So I think the problem in this country is we're all a little bit too busy and going too fast. And when you meditate, you kind of have to drop down from hyper speed, and you really got to slow down and concentrate.
That is the reason in my classes I normally try to start with the relaxation,
okay,
like pratyahara. I start to cut the stimuli from outside. Then I do yoga, and when I do yoga with them, I ask them to concentrate on the part of the body that they are working with. That. So that means that I'm not too much into the angle should be correct or how much you should be flexible. What I want you to do is to be in the moment. Okay, now you are bending forward, like standing bending forward, okay? Uh-huh. And then I ask you, okay, feel the stretch in your muscles. Be in your muscles. Don't think that, okay, the book said I should be this angle, or am I good, am I not? Don't compare yourself to yesterday or not. Just be in the moment, be in the muscle. Go for it. Concentrate. So I slow down the rhythm of the mind, bring it to the body, and then I make them ready for the meditation. Then I do some breathing techniques, pranayama, and basically we do meditation. Some people just want to do meditation. Then I do relaxation, breathing technique, meditation. But combination of all of that really works better.
So how long can you meditate for? I mean, like 5 minutes? Do you just need 5 minutes, 10 minutes, an hour?
You know, the best session for a meditation is 20 minutes.
Okay.
No, there is a meditation called Vipassana meditation. That's the original technique of Buddha that basically he brought it up. And it's a kind of meditation. It's nothing related to Buddhism. And they have these free classes. And they have actually 2-3 centers in California. It's a 10-day course. You go there, you meditate for 12 hours a day. Free lodging, free food. They teach you meditation. You should be there only 1 week. It's donation-based if you want to pay or not. And basically, there are heavy meditations like that. But for your listeners, I recommend meditation 20 minutes. The best time is sunset and sunrise, 1 or 2 hours after you have not had any food, because we want the blood to go to the brain, not the GI system. If you cannot do it exactly on the sunset and sunrise, whenever you finish your job, you come home, go to a corner that you have for yourself, turn off your phone, and basically start doing your relaxation and then meditation. The reason for sunset and sunrise is that the yogis believe that that's the most time that the pranayama or the energy is circulating in the earth. That's what they believe.
So how does the meditation tie in with the yoga?
So I do 10-minute relaxation, 20-minute yoga, 20-minute meditation. Is that your question?
Right.
Yeah. So basically...
So you combine the meditation with the yoga.
With the yoga. But I have classes that are just meditation. Sometimes people, they don't want to do yoga. That's okay. They just want to do meditation. I think it's very helpful with stress reduction. It changes the way you look at the life. And basically, it really changes your life. And it did for me. And that's the reason I am an advocate for yoga and meditation.
How did it change for you? I mean, I know you've got to be swamped busy being at the hospital. Hospitalists always are, but...
When I was in Iran, at those times, it was war between Iran and Iraq. Okay, economy was bad. We were sanctioned. You know, relation, even now, is not very good with the United States. And I was stressful to the max. I was so stressed out. And then one day, one of my friends said, why don't you do yoga? And at that time, yoga was illegal in Iran. And I said...
Illegal?
What? Yeah, illegal. But they taught because it's about religion. See, the thing that Americans think about that now, same that government taught at that time, it's not right. So basically, I said, what the heck is yoga? I said, okay, let's go do yoga. It's nothing religion. It's just a sport, and it really helps you. After 6 months, I was a changed man. So we brought it up to the Iran Federation, Sports Federation, and then we told them that they are doctors, and this is good for your health, and it's good for the stress of people. And they found out that this is not religious. This is nothing religious. This is just pure practice on your centers of energy and the chakras, as they believe. And basically, your mind, body, soul. And that's how I came to yoga.
So do you do this on a daily basis, 3 times a week?
Or? I personally do meditation at least twice a day, one when I wake up, one in the afternoon, and I do yoga once a day. So this is daily for me. But, you know, it's up to you. I mean, it's up to you how much you want to have vegetable. If you eat vegetable every day, it's healthier. You want to eat it at least twice a week, it's better than nothing, you know.
Okay.
Now, is this something you've been saying that you practice this and, you know, you have taught this? Is this something that we can go and find you, track you down and learn from you?
I am sure there is a lot of yoga centers and I'm sure there is a lot of good meditation teachers around the town and you can learn from each of them. Mm-hmm. If you want to basically be connected to me, I'm more than happy to help you.
So do you have a studio?
Okay, we actually, just to let you know, we have opened a center. It's called Iranian American Center in Miramisa Street that is going to be open this month.
Nice.
This is supposed to help to promote the culture of Persian culture and the culture to the American community. So this is through the PCC or Persian Culture Center. You may have never heard of that. There's a Persian community in town, and the PCC that it basically organized that has opened up this center. So we're going to have classes there.
Really? So can anybody can go?
Yeah, anybody can go.
You don't have to be Persian to go?
No. Come on, it's a community event. We all live together. You know, we all live together. We are here in the same boat.
Right.
And this is for the benefit of all the people.
Okay. All right, we'll be back in the next segment. Maybe we'll talk about that.
Yeah, no That's kidding. Fascinating. I want to learn more about it. Okay, hold on. We'll be right back.
Tucked away in Lemon Grove is a skilled care and rehab facility to rival any other. Our private and semi-private rooms surround a grand courtyard. Our large physical, occupational, and speech therapy suites, along with our certified wound care team, are a continuum of care from our finest local hospitals. As a Medicare-rated 5-star facility, we're trusted by San Diego's top doctors. Whether experiencing a recent joint replacement, stroke, or pulmonary issues, you can trust Lemon Grove Care and Rehabilitation to get back on your feet and back home. For more information, visit lemongrovecare.com or call 619-463-0294. Lemon Grove welcomes you.
When it comes to treatment of heart disease, there are many choices, but there's no better choice than Alvarado Hospital, right here, close to home. I'm Dr. Mike Michalski, a cardiologist with Alvarado Hospital. I am proud that our specialists bring a level of knowledge, skill, and technology that have greatly improved the lives of those in our community for the past 40 years. For more information about our cardiovascular and stroke services, please visit alvaradohospital.com or call 1-800-ALVARADO.
Alvarado is proud to be part of the top 15 health systems in the nation.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Aging Redefined. I'm your host, Kendra Vallone, and joined by my co-host, Dr. Larry Emder, and our special guest today, Dr. Nahavandi. We've been talking about yoga and all the, so much more than I expected it to be.
I'm so excited because I have like a million, yoga questions.
Well, I just want to go. I feel like being practical about it, I'll learn more. There's
what is Ayurveda yoga?
Sure. The medicine part of the yoga. See, we talk about yoga, about mind, body, and soul. And it has its own medicine. It's called Ayurveda. And that also goes to the Vedic textures about 2,000 years old that have been practiced in India and parts of the Asia. Ayurveda basically, this is how Ayurveda look at the disease. The disease is caused by the imbalance in your doshas.
Okay, what are doshas?
We're going to talk about that. So as we said, we talk about it very briefly. The yogis believe that there is 7 centers of energy or chakras in your body. Okay? Then they believe in 5 elements: earth, water, fire, air, and ether. Okay?
There's a cartoon when I was younger about that.
Yeah. It's good to remember that. That's a good one. Yeah. So the first chakra is basically the element of that is earth. The second chakra, the element of that is water. Combination of earth and water makes kapha. Okay. Earth and water, what does it make? Is it sticky? Is heavy? Is dull? Okay. Then we reach to the third, we're going to talk about that. Third chakra, the element of that is fire. Combination of fire and water makes pitta. So it has the elements of being like fire. It can be like...
like ash?
Not like ash. It's fire. It's hot. It's basically can be go out of control. I'm going to come back to that and completely explain that. And then we reach to the air and ether that makes water. So there is 3 doshas in every human body. Kapha, pitta, vata. And how they define if what is your element? Everybody has one predominant element. It's very rare that somebody has 3 dominant elements. Those are the people that whatever you do for them, they never get sick. They rarely get sick. They're always healthy. But normally you are kapha or pitta and then or whatever. Well, you have one dominant dosha and then go second one, third one. So the yogis, they check it with the pulse. They check your pulse. But in Western culture, we check one pulse. We check if your heart rate is regular or not. But the way that they check it is 3 fingers and in 3 layers. So basically, they have 3 layer of pulse. The basic one is your root constitution, whatever you have been born at. And the superficial one is what you are now. And they look at which pulse is going more.
You mean they're feeling your pulse?
They feel your pulse with 3 fingers.
And they can feel 3 different pulses?
They can feel 3 different pulses between different fingers. And they go into 3 layers, not only 1 layer. And based on that, they tell you what is your constitution when you were born. Because each person is born with 1 constitution in a balanced state. So nobody can come and say which one is better. Is kapha better than pitta or vata? Whatever you are born with that, that's your balanced state. And the superficial layer shows what are you now. So what they are trying to do is to make a balance between your doshas and go from there. If you are trying to do that, the first finger is vata, pitta, kapha. And you can check which pulse is more predominant, which one. And it will tell you which dosha is dominant. But there are other ways to find out. You want me to test that now?
Yeah, you're going to test
how
me.
How do you find out?
Well, it's very easy. There are some other questions we're going to ask. You want me, one is the volunteer?
I am.
Dr. Emder probably makes more sense because who knows if you're going to pull up the pulse of the baby.
Right. So I just, when you figure out my pulses, I don't want you to laugh.
Oh, it's okay. Let's go
at least you
pulse.
Have one.
Okay. Just make it easier and then go with your pulse. Okay. When you, basically in the regular temperature, room temperature, do you always feel hot or cold?
I'm cold.
You're mostly cold.
Yeah.
So this is one of the persons that...
I'm mostly cold too. Okay.
Hot yoga is good for you. Remember that.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you are regularly cold. And then basically, what's your taste? You like salty food, spicy food, or sweet food?
More salty.
You like more salty food?
Yeah, I do. You Which like is not good for me, but I like salt.
Salty food. Okay, yeah. Very good. Any family history of heart problems?
Everything.
Stroke? Okay.
Everything.
Remember, we are reaching to one point. If you listen to that. Okay. How's your sleep? When you sleep, do you have nightmares or not?
No, I'm a great sleeper.
Great sleeper. Do you wake up easily or not? Like you are sleeping and then you wake up.
No. I'm out cold.
You're completely out.
Yeah, I'm
Never
completely
have nightmare in your sleeps.
I have nightmares sometimes, but I sleep through them. I'm too tired.
Very good. Well, how's your skin? Is it dry? Is it moisty? Is
it it's dry. I'm usually putting emollients on my hands.
So
too.
You put... Yeah. Okay, so your skin...
On my face and my hands. Yeah, okay.
Do you have any GI problem? Never had any GI problem.
Some GI problems.
So you have some?
Oh, yeah. I had it today.
Okay, do you have some GERD or something? Do you not have...
I used to have GERD, mostly like irritable bowel sometimes.
Okay, you have irritable bowel. Okay. A personal question. I'm not going to go there. Okay, basically, do you have any cramps on your muscles or not?
No.
Okay. Okay, now we come to what we are going to come to. Okay.
This does not sound good so far.
No, it's okay.
Well, we were all on par. Like, I'm thinking, okay, all your answers are pretty much my answers except the health problems. Okay. We don't have that.
Okay, so very simple. This is very simple. Normally, a session with Ayurveda.
Like an hour
time
or
that. More than that, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. We talk about three dosha. You tell me. I'll tell you, and you tell me what do you think. So we have three dosha. One was kapha, that is what? Water and earth. Second is pitta, that is fire and water, it's hot. Third one is water. Water is air and ether, it's cold. So out of three dosha, one dosha is hot. Kapha, pitta, water. So which one you think you are?
I think you are not the hot one.
I'm not hot.
You are the hot one. Because your heart is imbalanced in the GI system. But you also feel cold. Is that right?
Yeah.
So we're going to come to two doshas. Not dominantly hot, but he has some heart imbalance. So the question is that water or is it kapha? Normally, kapha people are heavy set.
Okay.
Water people are slim.
Okay.
They can be tall or short, but they are normally slim. And they have some eye problems. You have the eyeglass, okay?
Yeah.
So I think you are water pitta. The question is that I think you are mostly water and then pitta.
Okay.
And you have some imbalance of pitta. The reason of that is that if you go back to your family history, you see everybody has died out of a stroke and heart problem, and that's imbalance of pitta also.
Okay.
So you are water with some imbalance of pitta. So what should you do? You told me you like vegetables. Is that right?
Yeah.
Do you like them raw?
No.
No. Raw vegetable is a poison for water. So that is what
really
that people say everybody should eat salad. Everybody should eat salad. And this is the culture of salad.
Yeah.
There is no prescription for everybody. Raw vegetable is a poison for people who have water imbalance because that makes the water more imbalanced.
Yeah, I don't like raw at all.
See,
I love it. I love salad.
You
told
me that.
Right.
So you are water and pitta, and thank you for having the cooked vegetables. Salt is not that much good for you. You know that.
Yeah. I avoid it, but I love it.
Yes, I know, but you know, do you like wine?
I love wine.
Yeah, you like it dry or some?
I don't really like. I hate
red
sweet wines.
Or wine?
I like red, and I like more on the dry side.
Okay, so you are more water pitta. Yeah, he's water pitta. So okay, now you check your pulse and tell me where you feel your pulse. Put your fingers on the here. You are.
On your wrist.
We cannot shoot completely on the wrist, and then a sniff box and go from there. And which finger you feel your pulse predominant? You check your pulse yourself and tell me.
Well, it's this finger, whatever that is.
Okay. Which finger? Can you raise your finger? Which one? This one or this one?
This one's huge.
That's the vata. That's where the vata sits.
And mine's the middle one. Mine's the middle one. What's that one?
Vata pitta. That's your pitta. Your pitta is predominant, and you can see it very clearly. I don't even need to.
How do you see it?
Okay.
So you see energy levels or?
Pitta people, the energy is outgoing. You can see it in their eyes. The pitta people eyes. You know, you should have done yoga for a while and you would know it. I can sit and ask questions from you and find out how is that. But you are more predominant pitta.
And I'm more predominantly
and again,
vata.
And again, I feel
pitta in
vata is what? Is
air and ether.
And what's the pitta again?
Pitta is the fire and water, but predominantly fire.
Fire and water.
And
fire.
One's not better than the other. It's just
there's nothing better than the other. It's just you need to
this
find
who
your
you
balance
are.
Point and go to your back.
And so knowing that, what do we do with that?
Okay, so Ayurveda has its own medicine, that's what we said. They give you herbal medicine. Everything is herbal. They found out what's your constitution. And remember, we said about mind, body, mind, and soul. First, you need to control what you are eating. That affects your body. So for everybody, they have a special kind of food. What should you eat and what should not eat? I refer to Dr. Vasant Lad, that is the best Ayurvedic doctor in the United States. And he has a website called www.ayurveda.com.
How do you spell that?
AYURVEDA.com.
Okay.
And then when you go there, on the left side, you can see Find Your Constitution. And he has a very nice questionnaire. You click on that. On the online resources, Find Your Constitution, it has a questionnaire. You do the questionnaire, find out your vata, pitta, kapha. And basically, based on that, he has what to eat, what not to eat. So that is on the body side. Then we go to the mind side. Like for the people who are pizza, they basically, they're aggressive people. They try to strive to get to the peak of everything. Mm-hmm. So for them, there are a special kind of meditation. It's also mind, see? Mind, body, and soul. So in each level, you need to follow the special diet, a special path, so you can reach your balance point. If you go only with what you eat, that helps, but also there is also mind. Hmm. What you should do, what you should basically not to do to help you with that. Like diabetes is an imbalance of kapha, and you see how many more and more diabetes
you're
getting. Ayurveda is trying to prevent that. They help you. As a regular doctor, I can never say, are you going to have diabetes or not? Are you going to have cancer?
Right.
It's a possibility. I can come up, you know, family history. Mm-hmm. In Ayurveda, they come and say, you know what? You may get this disease. How to prevent it?
Well, this is great information. Unfortunately, we're running out of time. And would I like to take the last couple minutes.
Wait. No, we haven't run out of time yet.
Yeah, we are running out of time. And for our audience, if they wanted to get in touch with you to find out about their energy levels or do meditation or do yoga, sure. How would they contact you?
We have a website. It's called www.navayoga.com. Uh-huh. And we have a Facebook account, Nava Yoga. Unfortunately, I have not been active in the Facebook, but when you go to the website, there is the English version. I'm still working on that. So basically, there is English version. There's some articles, and then they can find me through the Facebook account, and then I would basically introduce them to Iranian American Center in Miramesa. We're going to have classes there. We have workshops year round.
Okay, and so we can also maybe reach out to the Persian Center as well,
and Community Center,
and find you
all the classes. Yeah, PCC, okay. Persian Community Center.
And I was able to find the contact information for the organic vegetables and fruits. If you want to get them visited
you
to your house
today. You've got to remind our audience out there what you were talking about. For like $25, you had all this organic.
$25 every other week. I have all this organic fruits and vegetables, mm-hmm. kale, apples, delivered to my house, and it's from Farm Fresh to You. They're at 800-706-6009. Onions, strawberries, parsley. Get your and don't eat. I'm not going to eat them raw. I am going to cook them. And then if you need to get in touch with me to learn more about our way of thinking with mind, body, and vegetables, I'm at drlarryemder.com.
Very good. Do you need the Persian Community Center number or you're okay?
Oh, sure. Give it out.
If you want to have the number, it's 858-552-9355.
Perfect. All right. And audience out there, we also have a Facebook page, Aging Redefined Radio. So feel free to jump on there. Maybe send us a message. We'd love to hear your comments or possibly use them as a show topic. And also, we've got a podcast. So feel free to download that and listen to it at your leisure. Thanks so much for tuning in today. And we will talk to you next week.
You've been listening to Aging Redefined with your host, Kendra Vallone.